Dr. Carl Backus, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you. Thank you.
In this interview, we wanted to talk about new method measures the risk of type 2 diabetes in blood. And our first question is, what is epigenetics?
Well, there are several definitions of epigenetics. One that I like is the epigenetics is the study of mitotically or meiotically heritable changes in gene function that cannot be explained by changes in the DNA sequence. It's like, for example, DNA methylation or histone modifications or microRNA, for example. So things that change gene activity without changing the DNA sequence.
And what is DNA methylation, and is it inheritable?
DNA methylation is the addition of methyl groups to DNA, and in differentiated mammalian cells, the vast majority of DNA methylation occurs on cytosines that are followed by guanines. So it's a so-called CpG site. And DNA methylation does different things depending on where in the DNA they occur. So, if, for example, promoter methylation usually reduces gene expression due to inhibition of transcription factor binding or recruitment of other factors that reduce expression. And yes, it is inheritable. When a cell replicates and the DNA is replicated, the newly synthesized strand of DNA will be unmethylated. But an enzyme called DNA methylase transferase 1 will detect this. It's called hemimethylated DNA. And the enzyme will detect this and make sure that the methylation pattern from the parental strand is copied onto the new DNA strand. And so both daughter cells will have the same DNA methylation pattern. And then there's also evidence for transgenerational inheritance, so, which means that inheritance or epigenetic changes from one generation of an organism to another. And in the case of DNA methylation, the DNA methylation pattern is almost completely removed during early development. So any inherited DNA methylation changes are likely not directly inherited, but rather inherited through other mechanisms that perpetuate the DNA methylation pattern. But yes, it is inheritable.
Mm-hmm. And in your research, what predicts DNA methylation?
So we investigate the pancreatic islets of Langerhans from human donors, and we have shown that DNA methylation in these islets is affected by factors such as sex and age. And on top of this, there's also other factors, for example, nutrient stimulation, changes the methylation pattern. So it's a multifactorial issue, not only in human islets, but in any tissue. And due to this complexity, it's impossible to perfectly predict at what levels a person's DNA will be methylated at a specific site. If you do have any information of most of these important parameters for any given tissue, you can make rough estimates of the DNA methylation level. But it will never be perfect.
And does the method include sequencing? And if it does, could you please tell us about that?
So there are several methods for analyzing DNA methylation. We normally start by doing analysis at the whole genome level. We have done microarrays, for example. And then we validate findings from these experiments with a method called prior sequencing. And this method allows us to analyze specific short stretches of DNA. So yes, prior sequencing is a kind of sequencing method. I will not go into all the details because it's going to be hard to follow it without having like pictures to look at. But we start by treating the DNA we want to analyze with bisulfate, which converts unmethylated cytosines to uracil, while the methylated cytosines remain unaltered. Then we amplify this DNA in a PCR reaction, and one of the primers is biotinylated. So we can, after the PCR is run, we can denature the product and isolate just one of the strands. And this strand we can then sequence in the pyrosequencing reaction. And by comparing the results with the known sequence, we can tell if the C cytosines we analyzed were methylated or unmethylated in the original DNA. Like I said, this was just a very brief explanation. There are very good videos and animations online explaining prior sequencing. So if anyone is interested, I would recommend to do an online search for pyrosequencing, and you will find good videos explaining this method.
And when can the risk of developing diabetes type 2 be detected or identified?
So, to a certain extent, we can already do this with available parameters such as BMI and different measures of blood glucose levels, but the precision of the prediction is low. In the latest study we published, we show that DNA methylation in blood then can be used as a predictor, but the predictive strength is not stronger than the factors we already have. The thing is, we only investigated a very, very small fraction of the CpG sites in the human genome, so around 20 out of almost 30 million. So there may be much, much stronger predictors out there. And we are now planning on using our genome-wide methods and prospective cohorts to see if we can find other CpG sites that have a stronger predictive potential than the ones we analyzed in this study. But to give you a time point when we can, with good precision, detect type 2 diabetes, that's difficult. But it's within a few years, hopefully.
Would you like to make any final comment on this new method?
Well, like I said, it's a proof of principle, but we have hope that it can be developed into a good method to predict diabetes.
Thank you very much, Professor Karl Backus. It's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopio.
Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye.